This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for listening to WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Our investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
The Office of Executive Inspector General is reporting progress in investigating whether state employees improperly obtained federal Paycheck Protection Program loans. The office has concluded of 325 cases, 275 resulted in findings of wrongdoing. The Inspector General's office has consistently recommended the discharge of employees found to have engaged in this misconduct. The 275 cases involve employees under numerous agencies under the OEIG's jurisdiction. Illinois' airports fared better last year than the national average for flight delays and cancellations. The U.S. Department of Transportation reports 78.2% of flights were on time last year nationwide. Chicago's two major airports were a little better than that. Rockford's airport had an on-time rate of over 83%. Champaign's Willard Airport was at almost 82%. In other news, it's Friday. More at NowDecatur.com.
Americans getting more debt wiped out. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. As President Biden keeps finding a way around the Supreme Court that rejected a much bigger student loan forgiveness plan, Fox Business Network Cheryl Cassoni reports.
Today's announcement cancels $7.4 billion in debt for 277,000 borrowers. This brings the total forgiven to $153 billion. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
The president will continue fighting to give people more breathing room and using every tool at his disposal to help borrowers.
Now, the president met with the leaders of Japan and the Philippines amid concerns about Chinese aggression.
Any attack on Philippine aircraft, vessels, or armed forces in the South China Sea would invoke our mutual defense treaty.
This as the U.S. keeps a close eye on Iran. The Wall Street Journal reports a retaliatory strike against Israel appears imminent within days, blaming Israel for a strike in Syria last week that killed two Iranian generals. FBI Director Christopher Wray keeps warning of elevated terror threats since Hamas's attack triggered Israel's war in Gaza, telling a House hearing.
Our most immediate concern has been that individuals or small groups will draw some kind of twisted inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks here at home.
We're learning an Afghan migrant on the terror watch list is back in custody after Mohammed Karwin came to the U.S. illegally last year and was allowed to stay.
Homeland Security officials say at the time, Customs and Border Protection could not conclusively prove that Karwin was on the terror watch list. He was referred to Immigration and Customs Enforcement and released on ATD or Alternatives to Detention. Then, as our Bill Malugin reports, in February 2024, he was officially added to the FBI terror watch list. After new concerning information was developed on him, ICE was notified and ICE arrested him in San Antonio, Texas.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Don't let everyday aches and pains keep you from living your best life.
I don't think I really understood what people meant when they talked about pain until I started feeling it myself.
Start feeling better every day with Relief Factor, a daily supplement designed to support your body's fight against aches and pains.
Not only do I move better without pain, I just feel better.
Created by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients that target four metabolic pathways to address pain. Relief Factor doesn't just mask aches and pains, it helps reduce or even eliminate them.
Today, I do the things I love, and it doesn't occur to me to think about pain.
You can feel the difference all day, every day.
Join the over 1 million people who have tried Relief Factor's 3-week quick start kit. It's only $19.95. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. And feel the difference of Relief Factor.
They'll try again in Congress today to reauthorize the national security program some are wary of.
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act is set for another vote in the House after over a dozen Republicans broke from their party to kill the bill that would reauthorize and reform FISA earlier this week. The program allows for the surveillance of foreign persons, and the intelligence community says it's a vital tool for preventing terror threats. But some lawmakers believe it's been used to target Americans. Several of the Republicans who tanked the bill are satisfied with changes that reauthorizes FISA for 2 years instead of five, with the expectation certain amendments like a warrant requirement will be voted on at some point. on Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
Now, Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson says that it is too important to let FISA expire, but former President Trump, the presumptive GOP White House nominee, wants to kill the program, claiming it was used to spy on his campaign in 2016. Now, those two meet today when the speaker travels to the Trump Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida, as some Republicans consider ousting Johnson like they did Kevin McCarthy months ago for working with Democrats on budget bills.
House Speaker Mike Johnson hoping an appearance with former President Trump casts him a lifeline. Johnson's job could be in jeopardy. The former president and Johnson will tout a bill focused on preventing illegal immigrants from voting.
That's Fox's Chad Pergram at the Capitol. They'll tee off later this morning at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia, where they didn't get to finish the first round of golf's first major tournament of the year, suspended by darkness after weather delayed the start.
Bryson DeChambeau finished the day as the leader in the clubhouse at 7 under par. Scottie Scheffler, the winner of the 2022 Masters Tournament, shot a 6 under 66, and Tiger Woods is through 13 holes and sits at 1 under par. Woods will play 23 holes on Friday.
That's Fox's Joe Morgan. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
What can Dell Brown Services do for you?
Dell Brown Services can do just about anything for you. A variety of hauling and delivery. You need that old carpet hauled away?
Dell Brown Services can do it.
Have a basement or garage full of items that need cleaned out?
Dell Brown Services can do it.
Dell Brown Services, offering delivery from all major chain stores, cleanup, and removal of unwanted items from your home. Need it hauled or delivered? Dell Brown Services is who you call. We are fully insured and reliable.
Call Dell Brown Services today at 521-9495.
Good morning. Here's a look at your news Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. It's raining so far. It's going to be mostly cloudy, then sunny with a high of 62 and some wind. Then tonight, it's going to be clear and windy with a low around 41. For Saturday, sunny with a high near 74, and Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 45 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:06. Happy Friday.
Good morning and welcome to the Friday, the 12th edition of Byers & Company. We got more Masters news, the death of OJ, Angela from the Y, Nicole Bateman. Big show coming up.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. I will tell you, today is significant for your early bird drawing chances, because I think the cutoff for that is noon today. Is that right?
Yeah, it's early. This is it. There's money.
Well, yeah, there's money. You can go literally to stmega.com. Very easy to remember, and visit and give. Simple and easy to do. And you could turn your cash into more cash simply by just going to the website today and getting signed up. $100 a ticket. They got all the great deals. You buy two, you get one free. You buy three, you get two free. You buy five, you get five free. Buy 10, you get 10 free. And that literally early bird prize will be announced later today, assuming later this afternoon. And you have until noon. So don't screw around.
That's amazing. It's a way to take what is a $100 ticket. One ticket will win this $10,000, turning a $100 ticket to $10,000. That's turning a $1 bill 100 times into 100 $100 bills.
So the super early bird drawing today, $10,000. And you're still, by the way, if you win this, you're still in the drawing for the $100,000 grand prize, which is coming up in May. May 24th, I believe, is the date of the big drawing, the big grand prize. And you still got chances. So second place, $10,000. Third place, $5,000. Got $1,000 prizes, $500 prizes, $250 prizes. So if you're going to get in, I know there's this tendency to want to like go, well, I want that last minute chance. We can still do that, but why not get in for a $10,000 drawing?
Yeah.
Early.
And if you can afford it, if this is something that you're in, the key is to buy more and get more. Sometimes people pool together to be able to
That's fine too.
Yeah. You get the freebies.
That's fine too. Check in with Johns Hill today for our DPS 61 Spotlight. A little later today, Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, Angela Brinkotter Home Highlight, Nicole Bateman. So went home yesterday afternoon and watched a lot of the Masters. I watched a lot of Tiger Woods. They got out about 2.5 hours late because of the storms that were there. So I think he finished 13 holes yesterday, which means, you know, he's going to have another 5 holes to finish this morning.
23 today.
Yeah, and then 18 on top of that, which, you know, you don't know. He hasn't played golf since this withdrawing from this tournament last year because of and then he had surgery again. And you just don't know physically the toll on his body. And people, it's such a – when you watch it on TV, it looks so genteel. Mm-hmm. The flowers, the water, you know what I mean? It looks lovely. And it is, but it's a big, long, really hilly golf course to walk.
They can't ride in the carts on this one. This is a walk one. At least they don't have to carry their own bag.
They don't carry their own bag. They have a caddy. But you just don't realize it's the one thing you see in person that kind of jumps out to you from watching it on TV all those years is just how hilly it is. I mean, it's a haul.
Yeah. So why did they, was it darkness? Was that they ran out of TV time?
No, it was darkness. Okay. They played all the way till 7:15 last night, our time.
And they have some lighting, right?
TV lights and some spectator lights. I mean, a golf course isn't really a lit up place, you know, once you're out on the course. So, and when you look at even what you're seeing on TV, it looks way lighter than it actually is in person. Right. You know, you get that camera effect. So they played all the way through what they could play, and the rain delay wasn't as much as they thought it was going to be originally. And today, the wind, the people went out early yesterday. Clearly you had, Bryson DeChambeau, you know, who's leading by one over Scottie Scheffler. Bryson DeChambeau went out early and the wind came in the afternoon. It was like two different golf courses. Scottie Scheffler was sort of right in the middle of that, and then Tiger Woods was on the other end. So the people that played later in the afternoon had a way tougher golf course to deal with, and the wind is expected again today, so God knows what It's so weird. In sports, you play in a stadium, you play in a baseball field, you play even on a soccer pitch. You know, a golf course, you could be standing on a tee box and not feel any wind at all. But up around this dog leg where you're hitting your driver, it's 39 miles an hour. Yeah. And it's almost impossible to gauge.
The only thing that's even a fraction close is a field goal kicking from 50 yards away where, hey, I'm in a good spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Maybe way not. Wide yeah. left.
Except that's 100 yards right. for the entire field. That's your right. drive is going three times that far.
Yeah.
And with all the tall trees and everything else, it was great. I love watching yesterday.
So is there Tiger's one under, Bryson is seven under.
Scotty Scheffler's at six under,
so
one shot off.
Six strokes. Tiger's behind six strokes. Is he set up to maybe, is it close enough that he could make a run?
Yeah, he's not out of it.
Okay.
Let me just see here. I would say to you, you've got DeChambeau at 7 under. As I said, Scotty Scheffler's the guy you got to be looking at because he went out and played a lot of that wind at 6 under. Højgaard, who's a young guy from, I believe, Norway. Willett, the guy Kevin was talking about back from surgery way earlier, is at 4 under. Max Homa had a good round yesterday, 4 under. Then you get down to, there's a lot of 2 unders. So you're looking at Tiger Woods is tied for 17th at 1 under.
Okay.
That's where Rory McIlroy is.
Yeah, and 6 strokes can be made up.
Or lost.
However, yeah. I mean, he's...
In majors, it's usually that way.
Yeah,
or a combination of
give it
of
all
both.
Back. Give
but
it all
there's
back.
A ton. I mean, there's probably 20 people at 1 under, okay. Maybe 17 people. He's not out of it. And I don't know what the cut line will be, you know, after they get through all the Fridays. He's trying to break that record that's held by Freddie Couples and I can't remember who. Somebody has like 23 straight made cuts at the Masters, and that record, if Tiger makes it to the weekend, will be Tiger's from now on.
He has 5 holes left on this round, too. So, I mean, in theory, if he birdied them all, he'd be second place.
His round at 1 under is not a finished round.
Right.
Yes. Correct. Yep. So we were having this conversation yesterday, and it got me thinking about, because you asked about the Mount Rushmore. And here's the industry thing. If majors are the way you keep score, like Super Bowls, or World Series or whatever it might be, Stanley Cups, there's only five people in the history of golf that have the career Grand Slam. That means you've won all 4 majors.
How many did you say have that?
5.
Okay.
Of all the players that have ever played, and that's Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods. Now, Jack and Tiger have 3 career Grand Slams.
Oh, 3 of each? Wow.
All right, so they've won all 4 tournaments. At least 3 times.
That's ridiculous.
The other's not even close to that. And so when you're asking about, you know, who's in waiting and why I'm kind of like rooting for Rory McIlroy, well, Rory McIlroy only needs the Masters to be the 6th man on that list to have won 4 majors. Jordan Spieth only needs the Masters to be on that list to have won a career Grand Slam. Phil Mickelson only needs the U.S. Open, you know, to be on that list. But you think about how long Phil Mickelson has played, how long his career is, how many times he's won. He's not on that list. Tiger's the only one to have 4 in a row. They happen in consecutive seasons. Like he won the final 2 of 1 year and the first 2 of the next year. But he's the only person in the history of golf to ever have all 4 of them at one time.
Oh, wow.
And he's also got, I think 2006 was his greatest year ever, statistically speaking, like in how he played all around, in every way you keep score. And Scotty Scheffler is just barely knocking on the door this year with those numbers to give you an idea about how well he's playing.
Wow. So nobody has won 4 majors in a
single season.
Okay, so 2 and 2 is the closest.
Yep, or 3 and 1 or yeah. Whatever it was, 1 and 3. Wow. I mean, but he did have 4 of them consecutively, just not in the same calendar year.
Wow.
But Jack and Tiger, when you say, oh, well, yeah, they're literally 5 people are on this list in 100 years, and they're on the list the equivalent of 3 times.
That's
each.
Yeah, so Mount Rushmore only had two slots even.
It's Jack and Tiger.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
For sure. Anyway, more wind today. And we'll see what happens. And they're out early. We'll be out early. The weekend actually looks pretty nice. So, you know, hopefully you just want them to be able to go out there and play. The elements are fine, but I'd rather go see them play really good golf.
Is the coverage and everything good? I mean, is it worth, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, they don't come on until a little later. You can go to masters.com or if you're an ESPN Plus subscriber and get some limited holes like early or whatever. And then I don't know what they're going to do today because of the rain delay yesterday. There'll probably be more extended coverage on ESPN. And then in the weekend, you know, it will turn over to CBS for the major coverage. There had a lot of white balance issues with the cameras.
All blown out or something?
White didn't, like, it was too white. It was like, I don't know.
A little squint. It's a little too bright.
It was off for some reason. And a lot of the camera shots. And I don't know what the reason for that would be.
So Mark Tupper yesterday talked about the not feeling the buzz. All right, once the first ball's teed off, did it feel like, did it scratch the itch looking for?
Here's what you're gonna do. Bryson DeChambeau is a LIV golfer, right? So that will be the big thing. John Rahm did not have a great round yesterday. He's not out of it, but he did not tear it up. Last year's winner, who subsequently went to LIV after the fact. So you'll have a little bit of that. If somebody who's popular gets hot, Will Zalatoris is back, and I root for this kid all day long. You know, he had the back surgery. Yeah. He's 2 under. You got a lot of people. Max Homa, a very popular player, is at 4 under. Danny Willett's story is fantastic. There's enough stories that it will become exciting.
Okay, good.
And what's crazy, I saw an interview with last year's winner talking about like being out on the course and seeing that Bryson DeChambeau shot a 7 under. He said, this happens every year. You go out and you play in a major and it's crazy weather and somebody goes out and shoots 7 under. It's like, you can't even explain it. It just happens.
Wow.
The implication was, we'll see where he is tomorrow.
Right.
So we'll see. All right. Hey, some of the things I have to talk about here today, you know, O.J. Simpson, right as we were getting off the air yesterday, it was breaking that O.J. Simpson had died. And it is such a strange thing to me because I just read an article, I mean, literally early yesterday morning, about Michael Jackson's biopic blowing away people who had seen a trailer. They're having some big film thing or a lot of this stuff's coming out. Where are they? In Cannes, right?
Yeah.
And how there was just, you know, the critics were goo-goo gaga over this Michael Jackson biopic that's being directed by Anton Fuqua, I would think, right? Michael Jackson's relative, nephew maybe?
Yes.
Playing him. And then the announcement of OJ dying. And it is so weird to me that we sit here today all these years later, right? I was on the air when the OJ verdict was announced, right? I mean, 96 was not on the air in 94 when all of this took place and the Bronco chase and interrupting the NBA finals. Saw Bob Costas interview last night. It's fascinating. One of the people they tried to call in the Bronco was Bob Costas.
Wow.
And he didn't have a cell phone. So going back to 1994, so they tried calling his home in St. Louis. Then they tried to call the NBC studios. And Bob was at the NBA game, the NBA final game. And he was asked, they said they tried to call you. He said, no, they didn't. He didn't know until he was summoned. He was requested to go see OJ in jail. And he went with Bob Shapiro and Cowlings to go see OJ. And they told him they tried to call him that night. But he didn't know because the lady went, OJ, sure, whatever, hung up at NBC. But his description of the game, and you got to think about 1994 in a lot of ways was a long time ago, but it doesn't seem like 100 years ago. But this was the first time when you think about cable news and interrupting and cameras in the sky. And he described all the fans at the game trying to get down to see Marv Albert's monitor, you know, because you didn't have a phone to look at. You didn't have, like, as this stuff was breaking during this game, and it was Bob's job for Marv to kind of throw it to him, for him to throw it to Tom Brokaw back at the studios. in and out of this NBA Finals game. Wow. And they didn't have a process for that.
You know what's weird? You remember a lot of things where you were at when you saw it. The 2 days that you described, I remember literally both of those.
Both of them, yeah.
Watching the Houston Rockets play with my dad. And then being in science class at MacArthur and having the AV cart wheeled in so that we could watch
it. Anytime a shuttle goes down, a Princess Di dies. I mean, those are the kind of things you have.
But it's OJ. And the first act of it, I'm like, go OJ, go, you know, cause it's like, he's the Hertz guy.
Really?
He's Nordberg. I was a kid.
Okay.
So I was just, I like.
So what made you, I mean, I get the sentiment. I really do.
Well, he was going slow. He wasn't really trying to get away. I saw the people with the signs. My first sentiment was, that's a guy we know to be good.
Very interesting that you say that because I have never understood, why your immediate thing when it is announced that he is wanted for the murder of his wife to go make a sign and stand on a highway.
No, so the context that I had was that I probably assumed that he was sad. Not go OJ, not like get away, but like.
Watch what the signs were
saying. Yeah. It was more of like support of a person who I thought to be a good person and that he was going through a troubled time. Yeah. Not what came out.
Right. But that was out that night. I mean, they were trying to arrest him. You know, he was wanted and had $10,000 cash and some stupid disguise and his best buddy going back to the USC days. And the slow speed chase and all the highway being backed up on the other side for miles and miles. Yeah. That would have been like enough for me. Like, thanks.
It was terrible.
But the people with the signs, all of the stuff. And there was, in all fairness to what you said as a kid, Bob Costas talked about this last night. You know, the magnanimous nature, the wanting to be liked, the friendly guy, the guy who was considered by, you know, almost everyone, you know, in the work arena or anywhere around sports or TV or entertainment or the movies, you know, had an image of this guy that did not add up at all.
Right.
With what you were hearing. But I will tell you that Bob Costas also, when he went to that jail, to visit OJ after the arrest had been, you know, it wasn't like that day, but, you know, immediately after, that was the last time he spoke to OJ Simpson ever.
That I knew. I did know that.
And it was that OJ wanted him to be out stumping for OJ, the good guy. And he said it was so far removed from reality, that conversation, like that it was like just like you were going to walk in, guy's been arrested for the murder of his wife, and he's going to do the locker room stuff with you.
Yep.
That's when he knew that was all an act.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the subsequent years and reading this and watching the trial and me getting older and my perspective on it changed drastically, significantly. But as a kid, it's just like, how's what Nordberg?
I got
love Nordberg.
It's funny. You have the Naked Gun references.
Well, it was around that time.
I know, but you know, to me, he was football player first and foremost.
Then Hertz guy.
maybe Hertz guy. Maybe the guy that saved the cat, the Towering Inferno.
Yeah, good call.
But it was just such a, you know, you go back and you don't think of that as being sort of cutting edge or like the first time you're watching something like that on live television, but it certainly was close to. And they're literally, you think about what the NBA finals, you know, were like, I mean, to interrupt the whole conversation about, do you interrupt the game? And you're like, yeah, you do. But it was surreal. Here's the thing that I want you to know all these years later. And I never understood the people like, you know, you go in front of a jury of your peers and you live with whatever the outcome is in a court case. I mean, certainly there's appeals and there's all kinds of things you can do, right? I didn't get the people who, you know, were so at the pit of their soul angry that he didn't go to jail. I didn't get the people that celebrated the fact that he didn't go to jail. I mean, it felt like it became about something other than whether or not he killed his wife at the end to a lot of people. And to me, he was guilty. I don't have any doubt in my mind. And you know, he died owing that family over $100 million.
Right.
That he never paid.
Legally, not guilty. civilly found to be responsible.
Yeah, and then wrote the book. If I did, you know, the whole nine yards. So last night, I don't normally do the nostalgia thing or like the, but it was such a phenomenon. And then when I'm reading about this Michael Jackson thing, and it's so weird that you think about these two heinous sort of like, I can't imagine anything worse, you know, at the top of a list of things that a person can do than murdering someone or molesting a child. And yet all these years later, in basically my lifetime in the same time frame, we're making a movie about Michael Jackson. And everybody's still convinced one way or the other, but mostly one way, about O.J. Simpson. And it is weird that two people that big, that popular, that all that, that we have such a different reflective sort of mindset about those two things.
Yeah, it's crazy. And seeing the photos of the judgment, and you see half the people ecstatic and half the people
cheering.
I mean, it's like polar opposites in one still frame.
Yeah.
All across the United States.
Yeah. And I don't understand the personal attachment. We got to take a break for news. We'll get into this on the other side, but stay tuned.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. The state Senate has approved the first major change to the state's biometric information privacy law since it was first passed in 2008. The law makes Illinois the only state where residents can sue companies for improper collection and mishandling of their biometric data, whether they're an employee or customer. The law has fueled hundreds of lawsuits in recent years, including Facebook's settlement of hundreds of millions of dollars in 2020. The change passed by the Senate in bipartisan fashion clarifies damages only accrue per person, not per action, like a fingerprint scan. It comes after last year's state Supreme Court ruling that each fingerprint scan can count as a violation. The bill is headed to the House. The Komatsu mining truck is the winner of the Illinois Manufacturers Association's Maker's Madness contest. The truck is built in Peoria and uses its large carrying capacity for construction and mining. More stories, podcasts, and videos at nowdecatur.com.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. House Speaker Mike Johnson joins Donald Trump at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida today.
Former President Trump urged Republicans to vote against a bill Johnson wanted to get through to extend a warrantless surveillance program on suspected terrorists. The former president wants a deeper overhaul of that program that he says was used to spy on his campaign. This also comes as Johnson fends off a threat by Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene to call for a vote to push the speaker out over his support for additional Ukraine funding.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal. Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Rashee Rice turns himself in on aggravated assault and other charges.
He and another speeding driver allegedly caused a chain reaction crash that involved a half dozen vehicles on a busy Dallas highway last month. Rice's attorney telling the Associated Press that his client acknowledges his actions and feels deeply for those injured.
Fox's Sue Guzman. There have been water rescues from flooding in western Pennsylvania and West Virginia. America's listening to Fox News.
Affordable Dentures and Implants practices in Champaign, Springfield, and Forsyth makes new smiles affordable every day. So you don't need to wait another day to get your smile back. Call 1-800-DENTURE or visit affordabledentures.com to find the practice near you. Affordable Dentures and Implants. Go ahead and smile.
At Brinkhotter Realtors, we understand that no two clients are the same, and neither are their goals. We believe in getting to know you, your needs, your preferences, and your lifestyle. Why? Because you deserve more than a home. You deserve a place where memories are made, relationships are cherished, and comfort is found. From the moment you step into our world, your dreams become our purpose, and your goals, our mission. Discover the difference at Brinkhotter Realtors. Visit us online or call to connect with one of our agents today.
Think banking is boring? Staley Credit Union would like a word. Sure, members count on us for lower rates on loans, higher rates on savings, and friendly service. But that's just the beginning. Think free checking, a top-notch mobile app, and so many loan options. Not to mention perks like our Berenstain Bears Cub Club for kids and theme park discounts. Say goodbye to boring banking and hello to membership. Visit staleycu.com. This institution is not federally insured by Member Choice. Proudly insured by American Share Insurance.
Here's a look at your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast today. We've got some rain already. It's going to be mostly cloudy to start, then gradually sunny, high of 62 and windy. Then tonight, clear and windy, low of 41. For Saturday, sunny with a high of 74. Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 45 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:33. This Look at Your Weather brought to you by Staley Credit Union. Ready to bank better? Bank Staley Credit Union.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
So it's pretty amazing. I haven't thought much about O.J. Simpson in a very, very, very long time. I was not one of those people watching what would then become court TV and living. I mean, there were people who just lived that thing.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a minute of it. Testimony, the trial, the names, right? They all come back to you. Al Cowlings, Cato Kalin, Marsha Clark, Christopher Darden, Johnny Cochran, Bob Shapiro, Robert Kardashian.
Marsha Clark.
Lance, what, did I not say that?
I don't think you did.
Yeah, I started with her.
Oh, did you?
Or maybe not. Maybe I skipped it. Marsha Clark, Lance Ito, the judge. I mean, Everybody.
There was a football player drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. His name was Ito Smith.
Yeah.
Nicknamed because as a baby, he looked like the judge in the OJ case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it spread to so much.
Yeah. So the people that night that were standing out there with a sign saying save the juice, whatever it might be, it is a thing that is really hard to explain. I mean, we've seen it in subsequent things throughout the years where people are drawn to sort of a protest or a thing or whatever. I don't know how anybody decided that night on the 405 that there was like, I mean, that was a weird phenomenon. That slow speed chase, they let him go to his Brentwood home. They arrested him there. Everybody thought he was going to commit suicide. The audio of the officers talking to him in the car and telling him, think about everybody else, Juice. They were calling him Juice. I mean, the whole thing was so bizarre.
Yeah.
And then all the trial and, 2 years later, I remember watching the verdict. I was at, my great grandmother's house in Boonville, Indiana.
Wow.
With my dad. We were down there for a funeral. It just happened to be that was when the verdict. And so everybody was at their TV set. This is you had internet. Some, right. Not everyone, but the television was the way you were getting that news. And the fact that they still debated today whether or not they should have allowed cameras, because that turned into its own thing and all of that. So flash forward a few years and our state's attorney here, a gentleman by the name of Larry Fichter, brings Fred Goldman to town for an event. For the life of me, I cannot tell you. Remember what that event was about. And Larry reached out and asked if they could come on the air and do an interview. And I, as I do 99.9% of the time, said, sure, And we were at the old studios on Pershing, kind of very small studio. I mean, you never got a chance, I don't think, to see that tiny. You could put one person on one side, two on the other, and then there was a newsroom in between, and then like where you would be in an MCR. So it was like three windows, tiny space. So it was very personal when you had guests in. So we're coming in the studios, we're in the news break or whatever, getting ready to come back. And I have never met in my entire life a more intense person than Fred Goldman. And this has nothing to do with, I'm not saying this to take lightly the loss of his son or the fight that they, and he says to me, we can talk about anything but O.J. Simpson. Off the air. And so I'm thinking to myself, what do you talk to Fred Goldman about?
Right. He's just a regular Fred that you have no attack. He's just a citizen.
Yeah.
That you have nothing, nothing.
You're here for something because you are what you, I mean.
Right.
It was just a very strange experience. And the guy, he wasn't a jerk. He was just very, very, very intense. That anger that burned through, and I can't say I understand why, because I have not lost someone that way, but you think you can understand why. But it was an odd experience.
Wow.
In context.
Yeah.
So that family, OJ is found not guilty. Then they take him to civil court and they win. He's found accountable. And then he goes and plays golf and then goes to jail for the whole memorabilia and the guns thing.
Stealing his Heisman back.
Or yeah. And then he gets out and goes back and plays golf and then dies. He still owes that family $100 million. That original judgment was $33 million. That's how much he didn't pay. It is now $100 million.
Right.
And how does that work?
I have no idea. And he was, Howard Stern would every now and again put updates of him because he would put out videos. Hey, it's your friend Juice here.
Yeah, I know.
Just so casually. And it was, you know, and living the extravagant lifestyle, owing all that money. So there was a lot of things that was like, how can you smile when you did this?
Because it was all, in my opinion, it was all a front. I mean, it was all an act. You know, OJ was just that. He learned how to smile for the cameras and make a lot of money and be that guy and jump over the suitcases and do the thing. And it was an act.
Yeah. It just was so uncomfortable with hindsight, you know, where you're like, shouldn't you be doing something? You know, I remember Norm MacDonald going after him week after week on the weekend, whatever Saturday Night Live's news was.
Yeah, the weekend update.
And he would do one line that would ultimately cost his boss his job. But I remember one time where he said, OJ vowed he won't rest until he finds the killers. And then the next week he said, OJ has updated his vow to now I'm going to go be with supermodels. his search was like, I'm over it. Oh, I've moved on.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, God, man, it just a very perplexing situation.
I also look at it, as maybe certainly not the beginning of how people have reacted or acted towards these kind of things forever, but it was the first thing that, or the first big thing, the way we went into the courtroom, the way it was consumed, the way it was televised, the way you knew all the characters, like almost sort of the beginning of what would become sort of the trolling and the creeping and the internet and social media and division and one side, you know, versus the other. Now we had a civil war. I'm not saying literally it's the only time, but it was sort of the nugget for all of that.
Oh, no question of the real time updates, not the I'm standing outside the courtroom.
I'm not theater watching reels from 2 months ago from World War II.
Right.
That it was the beginning of that people getting consumed and all in, you know, to the point where everybody was an expert on everything.
Yeah. I think people had the same attachment in different ways, but the deluge of information in real time was never there until this.
We still have Nancy Grace. I don't know about Greta Van Susteren, but we still have Nancy Grace.
That's right. I met Cato once, Cato Kalin.
What an empty suit. I watched his little, they showed his, I don't know if it was TikTok or Instagram. Just shut up. No, you weren't pertinent then. You're not pertinent now. You're not, I mean, you're just, what an airhead.
He was at the Edward Jones Dome at the time for a comic con, or it was called Wizard World. And I spent maybe a half hour hanging around him, and it was all shtick all the time. It was turned on all the time. Yeah. Hey, what's zany and wild, and I'll talk about anything. I'll make a corny joke about anything.
The idea that you would make a career out of some woman getting her head basically removed from her body is, to me, he is one of the most despicable people in all of this and whatever. He felt the need yesterday to film himself talking to the Goldman family. It's like, just shut up. No one cared about
you. What do you mean by that? It was like yesterday he was talking to them.
Like he was putting out there.
Oh, he was giving them a video diary, his words directed to them.
Yes.
Okay.
Like anybody was waiting for, isn't that sort of typical?
Yeah.
I milked this for 30 years. Let me milk it all the way down. Because I was in the guest house.
Yeah.
That's how stupid, you know, this stuff was.
Yeah, I mean, think about that factoid alone.
Yeah.
There's a guy sleeping in a house behind the house.
Who supposedly didn't see anything, heard a thump.
And we know who he is.
30 years later.
That's still what I mean. It's like, but I mean, how in the world would we have any reason to know who the person was who really wasn't material to anything?
Because he's...
I know. I mean,
he's used it as a way to make money.
My point is that the cameras and all the coverage was in there so much that we even know the extras on set. Not just the main cast. We know the extras.
Mm-hmm.
And David Schwimmer's portrayal of Kardashian is so cringe. I will never be able to watch that series again.
I didn't watch it the first time.
It was okay, but he said juice 650 times.
I know. Oh. So I don't get the entertainment value of true crime to me is a very strange thing to me. I don't know if it's something you enjoy. I'm not judging. I find it hard to get pleasure or entertainment out of someone else's suffering, right? Mm-hmm. But people eat it up. Yeah. And this was true crime before there was true crime. It was way before we were all watching Tiger King or whatever, you know, on Netflix. This was the original, you know, 24/7 on every cable TV, every talk show, we knew every single thing that happened in this case real time.
Yeah.
And it all was brought back up yesterday at the death of O.J. Simpson. And, you know, I felt bad for that family that I think got the justice of getting the verdict, you know, in the courtroom that said you're responsible. But I felt like he never had to really pay anything for that.
No. You know, my niece, who's in her 30s, told me that a young colleague of hers saw the headline and said she didn't know that he ever played football. She just knew.
That's not surprising at all.
Right. So then I thought, why don't I ask my classroom when I said this question? I said, if I say O.J. Simpson, what comes to mind? Like, call it out.
Yeah.
These are the words that I got. I got football player, dead, killer. And wait, one more.
Okay.
Who?
Okay, you know, we would probably be better off if those kids were running the newsrooms in America.
But the whole thing.
That's your story. Football player, killer, dead.
Also, who?
Yeah. That's the whole story.
But the whole mix of the spectrum of all the context to I've never even heard of this person.
No. And that is surprising to me, to be honest. Just... You know,
it's been long enough.
I still know who Abraham Lincoln is. I wasn't actually there. No, but I'm saying the long enough thing to me. This was
no, but this isn't like long enough as in JFK. This is long enough as in like social drama that was before their time that has no relevance anymore in their life.
Yeah, it does. Set the stage for everything they're consuming
today. Well, when I brought that up, they go, oh.
Yeah. You know, if history teaches us nothing, we learn absolutely nothing from history. Yeah, it's important. I mean, in that context, Princess Di didn't have anything to do with your life.
Right.
You know, but her death or the Challenger explosion, you know, 30 years ago, 22 years ago, the last one, in Texas. You know, those things are when, you know, Reagan getting shot. Those are things when people stop, you know, Kennedy's assassination. And collectively as a nation, we turn inward and go, ooh. And now it's everything.
Right.
Is done that way.
Right.
There used to be kind of a level of it had to reach a certain thing. O.J. Simpson, for his time at USC and then with the Buffalo Bills and, you know, later, I mean, he was an incredible football player.
Oh, no
question.
I mean,
in and of himself, that career alone would have put him at the top of most, you know.
Super hot. I mean, Hall of Famer.
2,000-yard season running back.
Yep. One of the best on the field. No question about that. At the college and pro level.
Yeah. And then as a TV guy.
Celebrity, also very.
Doing the movies and all the other stuff, the advertisements. He was one of the first people. And I would suggest to you the irony of him being, you know, of this coming down to sort of a black-white argument, you know, with the jury and the conviction or not conviction. He was one of the first black athletes that really crossed over and was. Marketed to everyone in the United States.
That's right.
You know, and that act that which you can only, you know, but what's interesting to me though is people think it all has to be one way. Like, you know, that, oh, if you killed your wife, that means you were never friendly to anyone else in your life.
Right.
I mean, I think they were probably both OJ.
Yeah.
People are complex. I mean, they're more than, you know, one thing.
Exactly right.
And I, you know, part of it was, yeah, he figured out how to make a lot of money making people happy and making people comfortable. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't play the angry guy. He played the affable good guy. And that got him a lot of ads and a lot of roles. I mean, he's a great actor, but he played OJ.
That's right.
OJ, the security guard in the elevator, and, you know, got the cat.
Is he in Capricorn?
Capricorn 1.
Yeah.
One of the astronauts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Patton Oswalt, I think, tweeted that out. Like, you get all these lists of his things in his life. He's like, why not a shout out for Capricorn?
Yeah. It was actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it was.
That was like, was it Elliot Gould and Marcus Welby's assistant doctor? What was his name? James Brolin.
Brolin.
Josh, yeah. Brolin's dad.
Yeah.
And the guy from Law and Order.
Nice.
The state's attorney or whatever. Sam Watterson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I would see that at the theaters. That was the whole thing based on the conspiracy of them not going to Mars or whatever it was then. And then they were going to kill them because, you know, the astronauts had to cover that up. It was like you had the great old character actors who played the bad guys.
Oh, yeah. I
love those 70s movies. Anyway, O.J. Simpson. Orenthal James Simpson, dead at the age of 76 and died in Las Vegas yesterday. He was a guy who now will always be that thing. Why is it that we now have a biopic? And do you think that this biopic is going to paint Michael Jackson as a Michael Jackson? Is it going to be one way or the other? Will it try to be both? What do you think this is going to be? And are you not a little queasy about it?
I'm a little nervous about it. Having watched the Finding Neverland, having... I don't know how to feel about it. There's so much data on this, and you know, with his family being involved, I don't know. I'm uneasy, and I have not settled on how I feel about it. And what do I think is going to be in it? I don't know the motives of the filmmakers. I imagine that we're probably going to. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Probably a mostly ignoring it with. Maybe a toe in and a toe out. But hey, here's a celebration of this career with a couple trials and tribulations along the way and the heroic. They'll probably pick a scene like they do with, the Queen movie, like they do with most of them. It'll culminate in a special moment and then you never really have to get into that.
Okay. It's just amazing to me. First of all, it's hard for me to believe that he died in 2009. It seems weird that there's that much time that has passed.
Right.
And of course he was only 50 years old. And, you know, so time does a lot of things to a lot of people. Right?
Right.
But what I don't understand is why it didn't do that to OJ, but it has done that with Michael Jackson.
Meaning, like, the stink is kind
of... The stickiness of, like, the awful thing you did was still, like, pigpen on O.J. Yeah. Simpson.
Yeah.
They're making a biopic about Michael Jackson.
Well, they made a you know, they... I mean,
They made a TV show about his criminal trial. They didn't go, oh, all-star football player. And that was, yeah, by the way.
If you had a $100 bill in your pocket today, would you not put a $100 bill on the bet that there's going to be an OJ movie?
Oh, I don't think by now it would have been. It was 30 years ago, Nick.
And Michael Douglas is playing Ben Franklin on Apple. That was 200 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I think somebody is going to tell that story.
You don't think it's already been told?
Sure it has. Okay. I don't think they're done. I'm sure they'll make a movie of it.
But I don't think that if somebody signed on as a director to make a movie with the family of O.J. Simpson to rose color his life and not have, oh, by the way, yeah, most people believe he murdered his wife and Ronald Goldman. I don't think that's something people would be lined up wanting to see.
Oh, I didn't say it was going to be a hit.
But let's do apples and apples. That's what I'm saying. This movie, you're telling me they're going to hire his nephew to play him and they're going to give you an honest account of this guy's life?
No, but I also don't think that there's a huge appetite for it, and I don't think it's going to do... I think it'll get some numbers, but
still
I
still play his music, still listen to his
not
music.
To the degree that they would the most famous person in the history of time at the moment.
Yeah,
he's pretty well just been kind of like
I don't know about that.
Oh, trust me, his music is not featured where it was saturated everywhere. It's now just kind of there, and some of that is time or whatever. But it's kind of quietly just sort of.
I don't know about that. I really don't. And Michael Jackson's crimes were purportedly way before O.J. Simpson's crimes.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's interesting. Iconic characters, people that you think you know just because there's the familiarity of what they do.
And neither legally guilty of anything, which is the weird part of all of this.
Criminally.
Yeah, that's why I meant criminally.
Civilly, that's a whole other case.
Yeah.
To me, when, you know, in a court of law, they decide you have to pay damages for what you didn't get committed of doing or convicted of doing over here speaks volumes.
Yeah. Different standards.
Yeah. But still standards.
Exactly right.
And a lot of people, you know, whether you agree or disagree, been a long, long, long time. I don't believe that people who literally looked at that case and the preponderance of evidence and all of that really believe that O.J. Simpson was innocent. I really don't. I think that you had people who celebrated what they saw as a one-way justice system and they mistakenly thought O.J. was a black guy, getting justice because they had not gotten justice in a court system and they were rooting for something larger or bigger than him. And he went right back to the white people, you know, after that jury. That was the testament to Johnny Cochran and, the legal team that he put together and
Isotoner's ill fit.
Oh yeah. the whole thing. But the dynamic is interesting when you look at the sort of in my lifetime, I would say the slow speed Bronco chase, right? The death of Princess Diana, maybe the 9/11, certainly the Challenger and then the explosion, again, over Texas, you know, what was that 20? I can't believe that's been 22 years ago. You know, the things that, and you said it exactly the way I would remember it, right? Rolling in the AV cart in class.
That's literally what
those
happened.
Those kind of things, right?
Yeah. The first lights, the bombs over Baghdad, the first time seeing that on TV in real time. Was one of those for me too.
Yeah, but even that didn't capture the interest of people the way the O.J. Simpson case did. I mean, it's sad to say.
Was it Bernard Shaw?
Bernard Shaw? Yeah. I don't think any of those guys are still around.
No. We talked about that not too long ago.
You mean they were in the hotel that night in Baghdad? Yeah. So there you have it. I could have gone a long time without seeing Kate O'Kalin again, I can tell you that much.
Caitlyn Jenner weighing in on it.
Why does anybody care about that? One way or the other.
Right.
Why does she feel like she has to? I mean, this is kind of like, I mean, you know, you married the lawyer's ex-wife.
Right.
Why are you inserting yourself? I don't know. Maybe at one time they were friends or something. I don't know. But this is the kind of thing that the Cato thing bothered me. It's like literally all these years later, people are still doing this stuff like to get attention, and it's like it's so sleazy.
Yep. It's like being on the con circuit.
I Right.
Just cash it in.
Just stop. And, you know, I don't know. With her, it's like, I don't know that I'd be so cavalier about, you know, the loss of life after you know.
That's pretty much what X or Twitter
would do. Oh, is that what they all decided? See, yeah, I can do that without doing any of that.
Yeah. They all said, hey, isn't that weird? Because you sort of did this.
Well, I don't know that that would be the same thing.
No, but that's what they all said to them.
I know, but that's a little stretch, too.
I agree.
See, this is what's wrong with and the beginning, the genesis of all of this was O.J. Simpson.
That's right.
It really, really was. And Princess Diana, for whatever reason, I'm sitting there watching Larry King. You know, for whatever reason, we were always watching Larry King, you know, when this stuff would break. Tom Cruise calls him. Been in that tunnel. Thank you, Tom. All right, we've got to take a break for top of the hour news. We'll be back with more after this.
Car, home, mobile device, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. State regulators are looking into the future of Illinois' natural gas industry. The Illinois Commerce Commission began a series of workshops last week that'll be critical in how the state decarbonizes its natural gas system. Environmental and consumer advocates say the state needs to move away from natural gas because it contributes to climate change. But gas utilities argue advancements in technology could reduce or eliminate the carbon impact. Both sides agree changes need to happen to meet the state's goal of complete carbon-free energy by 2050. The workshops will continue for another year, after which agency leaders hope to have info or recommendations for state lawmakers.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.